Oasis Audio presents Weaver's Needle by Robin Carroll, read for you by Pamela Klein. The Legend of the Dutchman's Lost Mine. In the rugged Superstition Mountains east of Phoenix, located somewhere in a twisted labyrinth of canyon juts, lies the Dutchman's Lost Mine. The Apache Indians, Shis Inde, or Men of the Woods, had a secret gold cave hidden in the mountains. These mountains were the home of their thunder god, and they held the area in reverence. As news of gold in the Superstition Mountains spread, fortune hunters came from around the world to search. The Apaches, fierce protectors of their thunder god's mountain, killed everyone who dared trespass. As legend goes, in 1871, two German adventurers, Jacob Waltz and Jacob Wisner, came to Arizona. Waltz met and fell in love with an Apache girl, Kentee. Her relatives soon became convinced she had betrayed the location of their secret mine. According to their ancient ones, the gold had been placed there by the thunder god for them to use only in time of desperation. When Kentee led Waltz to the mine, and they returned to Phoenix with nearly $70,000 worth of gold, the tribe warriors raided within hours. While they murdered Kentee, the Apaches failed to kill the Dutchman Waltz. When Waltz was 80 years old, in 1890, he decided to hide the location of the mine. As legend tells it, when he had completed his mission, he told many that you could drive a pack train over the entrance to the mine and never know it was there. Several months after Waltz hid the mine, he contracted pneumonia. His only reported friend was a bread baker from Louisiana named Julia Thomas. History records the great February 1891 flood, which bore down on Phoenix as the most ruinous in the American Southwest. It is reported Waltz survived the flood by climbing into a small mesquite tree where he was stranded until someone cut him loose and took him to Julia Thomas's home, who was known to take in victims of the flood. Julia tried to nurse Jacob back to health, only he was so old and his body so feeble he couldn't resist his illness. He died in degrees over the summer. In October 1891, he attempted to tell Julia exactly where the mine was hidden. It's recorded, he said, "The northwest corner of the Superstition Mountains. The key is a stripped Palo Verde tree with one limb left on, a pointing arm. It points away from the rock about halfway from between it and the rock and 200 yards to the east. Take the trail in. I left a number of clues." After speaking these ominous directions, he died. All the Dutchman's clues seemed to focus around Weaver's Needle. Chapter 1. Unless you get one of those miracles they're always talking about in church, I don't see how you'll be able to keep the business open into spring. Landry leaned back in her father's old chair. It creaked, but it didn't comfort her as the sound usually did. "I don't understand." Her best friend and accountant closed her attaché case, then stood. "I'll send you the final report next week, but Landry, it doesn't look good." She gave a half-smile and squeezed Landry's arm. "I know why you wanted to start your own business, and I understand, I do." Marcy shook her head. "But with taxes and rent and overhead, it's my professional opinion you've bitten off more than you can chew. I'm sorry." Landry exhaled through her nose and stared out the dirty window into New Orleans' early February grime. Mardi Gras would come later in the month this year, but right now it was only rainy and dismal out, just like her financial status. "No, the truth is what I need." She forced a returning smile. "I'll look over what you've given me, but we'll wait for you to report before I meet with Dad's lawyer." How would she tell him that she'd single-handedly killed her father's dream in less than a year? "Hang in there." Marcy walked out of Landry's office and into the hall. "Are we still working?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?